metal, and we always like to give a little bit of deference to people to give them the walk-up music that they want to get. Commissioner Jeff Burgage, District 1 for Escambia County. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, you know what? You're making my day. You played Hatebreed as my walk-on music. I love it. It's fantastic.
I offered you Celine Dion, and you turned it down, so whatever. You know, you make your choices.
No.
Well, come on now.
No Celine Dion.
I mean, I don't play.
All right, so... So let's start with the really good news. We got an announcement from, you know, Nick Grady. I was just talking to him about an hour and a half ago. The county has been long negotiating with the Escambia County Firefighters Union, and we have a deal for about a little more than a $2 pay increase for the base pay. You know, it's still a lot of people complaining it's not enough, and in a way I agree with them, but at the same time, there's a reality to deal with. But this is good news, right? Finally to have a pay raise for the firefighters.
Well, it's fantastic, and you know when you call it a $2 raise, it really minimizes the significance. I like to look at it like this: before it was about $31,000 annual for a starting firefighter, we've raised that up to $42,000 now. It's a significant, more than $10,000 yearly raise when you look at their schedule and the hours they work.
Yeah,
and,
based
you know,
on
the
hours,
their schedule
right.
Work out to. It's significant. It's a significant increase. It's been a tough bargaining environment. We understand competition from other departments and the challenges that's put on, particularly the entry level. So the board listened, and you know, I'm very proud of the deal that we were able to get. We got some good language back, pulled back out of the contract that was troublesome, and in exchange for that, you know, we've been able to do this. Now there's still some other things we're working on, but yeah, it's a great day. This is a great news story. I wonder what cartoon the News Journal will make about this.
Happy to, as I told Nick when we had him on earlier, I'm like, hey, if I get good news for ECFR, I will talk about it, and this certainly is. And I'm hoping this is going to be a 5-0 vote. Obviously, you can't speak for the other commissioners, but I would expect it to sail through.
Sure.
So you have a 4-point plan that you kind of had rolled out before, but you also were talking about it last week in your coffee with the commissioner. There's one part I think I definitely disagree with, one part I want to talk about, two parts I think I very much agree with. Let's start with those because I think they're the easier ones. One thing you want to do is you want to buy ambulances out of LOST money.
Yeah, absolutely. Ambulances, fire equipment, all of those sorts of purchases need to be made with local option sales tax funds. That's just the intelligent way to do it. Because the limited revenue that EMS spins off as a enterprise fund, you know, we need that to cover these salary increases. We cannot spend revenue, you know, that we can use to purchase these assets. You know, we can't do that. It's just not smart government budgeting. So
yeah.
I'm glad you agree with that. 10-year replacement cycle seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, and that's what you know, that's what the new EMS chief says is his goal, and that makes sense to me as well. The other one was trying to sort of lockbox, compartmentalize the money from EMS. You know, that at least you can't go into it to pay for other things, I assume, is your plan, that you want to be able to fund all the needs in EMS first. If there's subsequent excess, fine, but not beyond that. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, absolutely, because right now what has happened in the past, there is a significant amount of money in the EMS reserve fund. A lot of that was generated by EMS during the Deepwater Horizon spill, and you know, over the years, people just kind of dipped into that as their slush fund. We were buying ambulances out of it, and then suddenly it was gone, and then we actually went into the hole again, software challenges. So I say going forward, obviously, you know, we've got to beef up our force. We need some more equipment, more ambulances. We're buying 4 new chassis today on the agenda with the local option sales tax money. And once we get that stabilized, you know, that revenue needs to stay in public safety, compartmentalized in public safety, because that will help us offset our challenges in fire as well.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, fire and EMS, they work together. I mean, if the ambulance can't come, we will roll the fire trucks. So,
right.
You know, they play a part in this. And I just believe that we need to do that. And I think we're moving in that direction.
Yeah. Again, I think that makes sense. And certainly given the challenges we've had in public safety over the years, that's a good idea. Here's one where I don't think I disagree with it. I just think that the way we describe it, we might not agree about that. You want to replace the MSBU. So basically everybody who owns a home pays $125 to pay for the service. But you want to replace that with an MSTU, which would be tied to property tax values, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yes, and the reason I am advocating for that, you know, I've looked at a lot of different hybrid things with perhaps a $100 base and a portion on the MSTU, but I just think we need to replace it, because if you use an MSTU and you peg it at year one so that it's revenue neutral, you know, we it's not a tax increase. It's actually just a change in the funding mechanism. And then the year after that and the subsequent years, that grows, you know, a lot more significantly than the MSBU. The MSBU is pretty much static. You know, you get a little bump each year as more houses are built, but if you need to grow it rapidly and you need additional revenue every year, which you do for a fire service because our costs are increasing, particularly the cost of labor, this is the thing that makes sense. Now, I understand that there are those that say, well, if you don't roll it back every year to get the same amount you got last year, that's a tax increase. I think that's garbage. That's a construct of the Florida legislature, so they make us at the local level look like the bad guys raising taxes. But the bottom line, Andrew, even when I was on the school board, I never bought into that. You keep the rate steady, and you're not raising their taxes. Just like you and I, we pay our taxes. You know, we pay 30%, 35%, whatever the case might be. And if I make more year,
but if you, but if you, okay, so but if you go from a flat amount of a buck and a quarter a year to a percentage, and your property tax goes up, mm-hmm. you've got a tax that's tied to the rate of your home. That is, in practice, a property tax increase. You will pay more. You well, say, that's how you're going to raise revenue.
In year one, that's why it's very important in year one to get it right. I think it's right around one mil would get us would replace the MSBU. You know, of course, we'd have the budget folks dial it in perfectly. But then in year two, yes, we would have to advertise a tax increase. But again, that's where my philosophical difference is. I would keep the rate steady. I would never raise the rate. And so if your property values go up, that's how you raise revenue. You keep the rate steady, you grow the economy, and you realize more revenue for what you need to do. Now, what I don't support is, well, we want even more revenue, so let's raise the rate next year. I will never raise the rate. I'll keep it static, just as I've done when I was on the school board, just as I've done in the county.
And so on that note, I mean, again, I'm not sure that it's a bad idea. I like the idea of people having a notion of where their money goes. Even your idea of taxing units for the sheriff makes sense to me. I just think the nomenclature of it that, absolutely. You know, let's be clear, this is going to be a tax increase on property owners to some degree, and then in the future based on compared with the MSBU. But again, maybe it's I'm not disagreeing with the proposal necessarily. Well, listen to how we describe it.
Let me point one thing out, though. For many property owners, it would be a tax decrease. If you have a
low-value property, sure.
In your block west. Yeah, so for many people, those probably with, you know, the least amount of money, it would be actually a tax decrease.
Yeah, it's clearly shifting of the tax burden towards higher-value houses. I mean, yeah, obviously. So,
right.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, hang on for just a second. You know what I love about talking with you is you and I both talk fast, so we get a lot in, which is good. Thanks so much, Justin. Now back to Commissioner Jeff Burgosh. All right, here's one where I'm pretty sure we're going to disagree, but that's why I wanted to have you on, because at least I can maybe learn your perspective on this. Your other fourth point is to go from a four-man professional career team for the firefighters to a three-man team or three firefighter team, and then one to be a volunteer, right? That's kind of your proposal. Can you just help me understand how would that actually function in practice? Is this volunteer going to be at the station 24 hours a day every third day? Are they going to be at their house waiting on a call? What does it look like in your mind?
Well again, those details be worked out, you know, with Eric Gilmore and Chief Catherine Bone, but I think
those details are kind of everything, though, because where the person is at the time the call comes in is key.
Oh, of course it is. But here's what I would say. Right now, many fire services run three-man trucks. For example, City of Pensacola, three-man trucks. So it's not like it's uncommon. What I would say is at one point we had nearly 400 volunteers in this county. Things have changed. I understand we've grown. But a lot of them have been run out. A lot of them do not feel welcome in the stations. And so when we have a volunteer, that saves taxpayers a lot of money. And most of these volunteers, many of them are fully qualified. They work for DOD. They work for other fire services. They want to come back home, and they want to help their community. So we have to embrace a culture of volunteerism and acceptance of these volunteers instead of treating them like, you know, the redheaded stepchildren.
Okay,
that
but if they're
so
not, if they're not there
thing.
Right now, where do they come from? Mm-hmm. And also, if you can save money on them, it sounds to me like you want to get a volunteer/intern to sit in the firehouse 24 hours every third day and not pay him what you would pay a professional firefighter. And he's got to hold down a job as a separate thing. This is why the details here to me matter, because I can't make it work in my head.
Well, I mean, it's difficult, but what we're doing there is you're really oversimplifying it. What you do is you tell these people, because you've got volunteers right now that run stations in the northern part of the county. We had them at Beulah. We've got a few of them at Ferry Pass. So what you do is you say, look, you want to run calls? You want to be a volunteer? We're going to give you the training that you need. And if you're ready, you tell us your schedule. You work the schedule out. And then, you're the fourth man on the truck. What we've had in the past is we've had the fourth man be there, a volunteer, and the career guys would say, no, you can't ride on the truck. You're a volunteer. That is changing. We are going to accept and embrace volunteers because they're fully qualified, fully certified. So
And I know you want to play, you know, you want to play with like a Pensacola Fire as your example, but that's of course a much denser situation where you have the ability to have overlapping response. In Escambia, it's much more separated. So getting that first truck on scene with four and the lieutenant not having to do other duties besides being the lieutenant. I mean, you know, the two in, two out, fighting fires from the inside. That it sounds to me like a plan to either undercompensate volunteers where there are not that many volunteers to begin with, or to run a three-man team, which is a disadvantage fighting fires. That's my concern.
Well, I understand, and look, these things would be ironed out, but I would tell you this. Where we have the most issues and the most fires calls being run, if you look at the heat map, are in the denser part of the county, right? They're very rare, very rare. We do get calls in the northern part, but so what you're saying, obviously, the parts of the county where we're running these calls are dense. So we have things like a barbecue fire. This is a true story, and we had eight trucks show up to put it out. Okay, so we've got other issues that we've got to work through. When we had the MedPro Solutions fire, our first responder on the scene was there within 2 minutes. The first fire truck was there in 4 minutes, and we couldn't prevent a death. So, you know, it's never going to be perfect. We're always going to strive to do the best we can, but we have to work with the budget that we have. It cannot be what we want dictates that we go to the taxpayers and ask for more money every year. I just simply will not support that. There is a way to make it work. 69% of the country is protected by volunteer firefighters, you know, and so I want to get back to where we embrace and really appreciate the volunteers, and I think that's got to be part of the culture.
Well, and that's why I wanted to have you on. And as far as having more volunteers, I would love to see that be the case. If we can get there from here, I'm with you on that. So 2.5 out of 4, I think, is a good place to start as a commonality. Commissioner Bergosh, and you know me, I always love somebody who's going to bring new ideas to the table that we can talk about. Thanks so much for the time. Always willing to come on the show whenever I ask you. We'll talk to you again soon, sir. Thank you so much. And again, congratulations on the contract.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. Thanks, Andrew. Have a great rest of the week.
You too. 822 on